Welcome to the PowerPress Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm your host. Thanks for listening. On this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. On this episode, I have Zach Smucker-Bryan and Tara Johnson. Zach produces Edible Alpha, and Tara Johnson is the host. It is affiliated to the Food Finance Institute in Madison, Wisconsin. They've got a lot of great content and background in the radio industry and how they've gone about starting their show and using PowerPress. So we've got a lot of great discussion on that, as well as some things happening in the radio department for some companies. So got a great episode coming for you with a PowerPress tip at the end, thanks to Sean Thorpe. So thanks for listening. Enjoy. I have Zach Smucker-Bryan and Tara Johnson with me on the PowerPress Podcast today. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
How are both of you?
We're good.
Yeah, doing pretty well.
Thanks for being on the show. We've got some different perspectives from both of you today. So I'm happy that you guys are the first people I've had, well, the first duo. This is the first time I've ever had three people on the show at once. So I'm excited for this one.
Well, perfect. Yeah, yeah. It'll be good.
It's the first time we're giving an interview together. So there you
go. So there's a lot of firsts happening here. And we'll talk about your show that you guys work on, the Edible Alpha, later on. And to get us started for the episode, I have an article that is about EW scripts. And it is titled, Scripts Reshapes for the 21st Century, Cutbacks Coming, Radio Laid Off Too. It's kind of harsh, but accurate.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, the radio industry has been suffering a little bit just because it's very advertising driven and that those revenues have been declining. So yeah,
it's Zach and I, part of the reason that we kind of went to this podcast thing was I used to co-host a radio show. Mm-hmm. And that radio show was also about business, and it was a local radio show here that I think that station had coverage that was probably the southern part of our state. And the station they made a decision to change the whole thing to sports 24 hours a day.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And so we were interviewing about business and local business, and then it just suddenly became, nope, we're not doing that anymore. We're just doing sports.
That's a big change.
Right. And it was sad because at the time that happened, I had been talking to them specifically about having a radio show specifically about food. Mm-hmm. And the food industry, because the food industry, food and agriculture in Wisconsin are very big industries.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
So it is something that, especially in rural areas, I mean, that's the predominant part of the economy. Mm-hmm. So people in the station were interested in doing that, but then they made the decision to make the whole thing sports. So there, that went out the window, right?
So you've been in a situation like this before.
Have been, yeah.
Unfortunately. So Scripps is, I'm very familiar with it because I'm in Columbus, Ohio, and they're in, like, Scripps is in Cincinnati. So we're close, but it is, for people that don't know, it's a multimedia conglomerate, really, that has been involved in newspapers, radio, TV, and all types of digital media for like 100 years or something. And they currently have 34 different radio stations, and they are selling every single one of them off.
Yeah.
So they're not kidding when they say cutbacks are coming and all of radio has been, you know, tossed away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope that at least some of those people transition into the podcast department.
Yeah. Well, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a prime example.
Yeah. I do believe that there is an audience. I mean, we know because we have a podcast and people listen to us. So mm-hmm. I know there is an appetite for this kind of mm-hmm. more, I don't know, more in-depth kind of programming mm-hmm. than, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And I would wonder, too, if maybe companies that thought of themselves just as radio companies or radio stations, if they're just thinking, well, we're serving this audience with this audio content. You know, let's make it more on demand. We can. And then what are the other ways we can monetize things that relates to our audience? I don't know. Yeah, it's a difficult path forward, but I think there's a path there for someone.
Definitely. The current CEO, Adam Simpson, was fundamental in Scripps purchasing, like buying out Midroll, which is known for podcast advertising. So they have owned them for, I think, over a year, maybe 2 years now. And this CEO has been focused on podcasting even before he became CEO. So this is not surprising that, you know, now that he's fully in control in that title, that they're doing away with radio and focusing on podcasting, because I think for a while they've been able to see this and they've been focusing on this, and now they're diving right in, like they're full force in.
Right.
A lot of companies are, though. I mean, you're seeing a lot of companies slowly add podcasts as they're, you know, to cover up their radio as well. And it's happening to a lot of places.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing to me, because I think one of the things that is different about podcasting as a media, so like our show, mm-hmm. when we started it, I really didn't know kind of what would happen with it, even though I had had this radio show where we interviewed business people before. I think what has happened is the media has enabled us to go way more in depth and take a more technical slant on things. I mean, we mm-hmm. talk about business models. It's not popular culture kind of stuff, right? And as a result, I think you know, how we're going to use it, the podcast in the future, is really different than a radio show would have been, right?
Right. Yeah, for sure.
I think you're able to take more risks with a podcast as opposed to the typical radio show.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think there is, you know, we live in a soundbite, you know, 24 character tweet sort of world, but mm-hmm. the podcasts are an environment where we can still dive deep.
Yeah.
And even so, even in episodes that are, you know, only 20 minutes, it still feels like a deep dive, because it personally, I have always found podcasts to be better quality content than radio, at least for the things that I was the things that I'm interested in learning about. So I think we're going to see hopefully more of that.
Yeah. Right. And at a time where sponsored media is having a harder time doing those deep dives, it is, you know, it's kind of a interesting thing, right? That mm-hmm. podcasts are jumping in and doing that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think for a lot of the places I used to be radio people, that some of these people that are going to be doing podcasts instead are potentially coming from a different background, and not just a broadcasting one, but from a journalistic point of view. And then, you know, with the guidance of someone that has worked in broadcasting, can make it a better broadcast. I think all of these different, you know, different industries coming together is partially why they're doing so well.
Yeah, right. I agree with that. And our podcasts, I mean, part of the reason they are the way they are is I am not a journalist. I'm a business person. Mm-hmm. So kind of the questions that I ask and how we can run those conversations within the podcast is different because of my background, right?
Yep. It's putting all of that together. So I don't know when all of these are going to be sold off, and, you know, when people are going to be getting the boot, I guess, but this came out earlier this week, so sometime in the very near future, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It is, yeah.
You got to keep up with the times.
I get it. It'll just be interesting, because if you think about radio, you could get in your car and turn on your radio, and you didn't have to like find the podcast, right? I mean, you have to get like more proactive and organized, right? If you're gonna do this podcasts,
right? Exactly. And although I guess they're making huge advancements in that whole smart speaker discoverability technology and that cars are kind of the next step.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I want to be able to talk to my car and say, you know, I don't know, can't be Siri. It'll be something else, right?
Sure.
Jane, can you find a podcast for me about, you know, I don't know.
Give it time. It might just happen.
It won't be long, right?
No.
Right. Yeah.
No, it's not. Okay, so tell me about the Edible Alpha podcast and how it is associated to the Food Finance Institute, and Zach, how you're involved, and Tara, how you're involved. I'm going to let you take the reins on this.
Sure. Yeah. So the Food Finance Institute is part of the University of Wisconsin Extension for the time being. Mm-hmm. And so we have a mission of providing sophisticated financial technical assistance to food, beverage, and value-added agriculture businesses. And so there's a lot of different ways we fulfill that mission. It's definitely leveraging Tara's experience and expertise, working with food businesses, which she still does a lot of directly. But we've started training consultants in the state, both public and private sector consultants that are already working with food businesses and trying to help them think more about food business models that will work and the actual process of raising money and what's realistic in terms of financial expectations around that. Mm-hmm. And so the podcast is one tool that we use to provide people, I would say, the context for what they should expect in terms of how to run a food business, how big do you have to be, what is the process of raising money actually like, what does it feel like, and how does it change your business? And then going deep into some of the more technical stuff as well about what types of capital made sense at what stage. And then also just the fun stuff of stories of entrepreneurs and how they got started and why they started to do what they did. Mm-hmm. And so it covers a lot of different stuff. And, you know, my role is mostly behind the scenes. I'm more or less the producer of the podcast. And so I schedule everything and set up the recording sessions and then edit the podcasts and then post them using the Blueberry PowerPress plugin. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Blueberry customer and super happy with y'all. And so then post that and then promote it via social media. And we also have a newsletter called the Edible Alpha Insights newsletter that pairs nicely with the podcast, accentuates different stuff that we felt was kind of one of our main takeaways from the podcast. And so I'm in charge of producing that as well. And so that's kind of my role, is more behind the scenes, making sure the online presence is up to date and doing everything we can to make sure the content gets out there.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm the host. I'm the host, mm-hmm. but I'm also kind of the celebrity behind this. So most people know me as the founder of a company that made Tara's Whey. So Tara's Whey is the number one brand of whey protein in the natural category everywhere in the country.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I started that, had an idea in my head, and took that from an idea in my head to raising $14 million, launched a national brand, built a green manufacturing facility, which was necessary to even have the brand, mm-hmm. And took that all the way through to a sale to a public company. So Food Finance Institute is kind of my thing to do instead of retiring, because somebody told me this week that it's because I'm a rat in the Chinese New York. I'm relentless and will never quit, apparently. So, but the idea here with Food Finance Institute was to help, as Zach said, to help food and value-added ag people raise the money they need to grow. Mm-hmm. The podcast grew out of that because I find myself doing one-on-one consulting, and I have to tell people the same thing over and over again, right?
Absolutely.
On some level. Mm-hmm. Like you can raise money when your business model is investable, and most people don't have an investable business model yet, and that's why they're having trouble raising money. So the podcast series started because we were like, well, we need a way to extend me, and a podcast might be a good way. And I had already done that radio show in the past, so I felt comfortable mm-hmm. with doing interviews. What has been different, though, with this for us has been that the depth that we can go into in these conversations, as I said earlier, is a bit different than it used to be on the radio show. Yeah. And the other thing that's different now is I have Zach. So Zach can, work with the digital content. So we're going to be able to use these interviews in different ways to support our digital curriculum development. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So we can leverage the content in the podcast in a way that was not possible in the past. And that's pretty exciting for me.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoy that you're sharing this information that consultants, I feel like, sometimes get a bad rap, because a lot of the time what consultants are saying is the exact same thing. But I feel like you're in a different genre here, like a different industry here of information that people seriously need,
right,
as opposed to something that, someone has repeated already. So I really like that you're sharing this willingly and so easily with people, and you're trying to do more for courses and, develop new things for it and figure mm-hmm. out ways to turn it into different types of content available for everyone, because that doesn't always happen with people and their podcasts. They are sometimes just putting out the exact same thing that someone else is.
Right, right. And, you know, and this is, that's true in consulting across the board, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and the thing about, you know, so this all started because I have a really unique background. I mean, I am an entrepreneur who did this and I raised a lot of money. I mean, so I when reflecting on that whole experience, I thought, well, what is it that, you know, is defensively unique about what I do that I want to leverage in the future, and what can I do to really help move things forward in the future? And I tell people I don't even like money, but you can't do anything without it in a food business. So
very necessary, yeah.
Completely. And so here we are, right? So that informs this whole thing. So we interview entrepreneurs, but we've also done things like interviews of people who have been controllers. I mean, talk about boring, but that is not really boring.
It's
really incredibly useful.
Yeah.
And it's turned, I think that was actually quite a popular,
yeah,
it's been a popular episode because it is so practical,
mm-hmm,
about something that people don't talk about a lot.
Right. Yeah, you're coming from that unique perspective and giving people what they actually need. So how long have you guys been doing this?
We did our first recording in November of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took a few months for us to sort of get into the rhythm of actually like building up a bank of interviews to work from. And then we were kind of sporadic in releasing episodes at first, and then kind of around April, May of 2017, we started releasing episodes twice a month, and then pairing that with the newsletter that also releases twice a month. And so we've been pretty consistent since then. So,
mm-hmm,
yeah. And so I think we have a little over 25 episodes out thus far, and, you know, I'm going to release more in February. And mm-hmm, so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's just in a practical way, you got to integrate this into what the rhythm of your other work. Right. And so it took us a bit to figure out how to do that. And now it's getting much more routinized for us. So it's easier.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And it's something that, I mean, yeah, I had never done a podcast before. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in a band in high school and college that recorded a few albums. So it was comfortable, I guess, recording things maybe, but yeah, and listen to podcasts, but had never thought about producing one. So it's been a really fun part of my job.
It goes to show that if you put the effort in, you can learn how to do it, though.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. And it's, you know, I do think about people who try to do this on their own. So it would be like me doing this without Zach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be really hard to do it by yourself.
It's a lot of work.
Right. But it's a lot of work.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is like it is a low barrier to entry in some ways, but then it's also, it's a lot of hours. I mean, it's a lot of planning, it's a lot of scheduling, it's a lot of editing, it's actually doing the interviews and doing all the online presence stuff that goes with it. It takes up time, and mm-hmm, you have to be committed to doing it, to do it well, I think, to serve your goals. And so it's kind of, you can't just like put your foot in the pool, you kind of have to jump in a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't follow this as much as you guys do, but my suspicion is that, you know, I talk to a lot of people, oh yeah, well, we're going to do a podcast. And I'm like, okay, have fun with that. You know, I'm just warning you that this is a commitment. And I think for us, we have a lot of ways, because it's part of a bigger context for us. So we have a lot of ways to leverage it. So when we train consultants, they can send their clients to some of these. You know what I mean? So it's a tool for the people that we're training. It's a tool for the people who we consult with. It's
a tool for who the consultants consult with. You know,
yeah,
it's like
exactly.
Hopefully multiple people are leveraging it in multiple ways.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's interesting. And then the other part of this that's been interesting to me is, so I have Zach to help me navigate the digital world, right? In part because he's more digitally inclined, in part because he is younger than I am, right? My age group is not really, you know, that you have to really handhold them into podcasts, right? Like, they'll be like, how do I get to
it
that?
It definitely happens, yes.
So what I like about this, though, is that I'm reaching a different audience in a way, because we're doing this as a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Blueberry helps host a meetup, a podcast meetup every month in the Columbus area. And one of the things that we were talking about, because there was a bunch of new people there, because, you know, it's the new year. And we mentioned it's not a terrible idea to possibly find like a person in this room to keep in touch with, to like kind of keep yourself accountable, because we all want to do a podcast, but then it all gets so overwhelming with when you don't have any type of partner or anyone that you could really, you know, talk to about it. And it's important to create those relationships like the one that you have, that you guys have, to keep yourself going and to bounce ideas off of.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's just a lot of work, and presumably people who are doing these are have other things they're doing, right?
Yeah.
And so finding just the sheer clock time of it. And it is the kind of work that you can't really, there's kind of defined clock time.
Yeah.
Like we've gotten more efficient at this, but it still takes, you know, you have to do the interviews, you have to recruit people, you have to do all the production work that you do. And there's no way around that, right?
Right, right. And we've been really lucky, too, to have, I mean, our division at Extension is really supportive of what we're doing. And we're also, because we're part of Extension, we also have access to, like, a pretty nice recording studio and kind of support for if something goes wrong, like if the mic was a little hot or something, they're able to do some other editing magic that maybe is a little advanced for me or something. And so, I mean, we really do have a lot of support that's helping us do that, even if we're kind of the driving force of it. So, I mean, there's that infrastructure around you too that has to be considered.
Yeah. You kind of have to, it's, I feel like kind of like raising a kid, it takes a village.
It does.
Yeah.
When I was first thinking about this, I talked to somebody who does this on her own, a consultant who does this on her own. And she said, okay, well, here's my list. You have to get the following mic and all this stuff. And I'm looking at this list thinking there's no way in hell I'm doing this at my house.
I understand.
Never mind, I have dogs that always bark at the wrong time, right? Sure. But other than that, it wouldn't have been a problem.
No.
Yeah. But the quality, I think, of what is possible in terms of the quality of content is really awesome with this media, I think.
So what has been a pitfall with you guys that you've experienced since you started the show?
Pitfall.
I think for me, I don't know if I'd call it a pitfall, but still kind of an ongoing challenge is that sort of maybe editorial calendar and flow where it's like, we need to get stuff scheduled. We need to record the thing. We need to share the kind of draft recording with the participant because our podcast is an interview podcast, not just Tara talking. They have to approve it. You know, Tara might have some feedback on the show notes. The participant might have some feedback on the show notes, you know, and we have to all do this while trying to release 2 a month. And it's just, you know, just trying to make it to where the flow gives everyone in the chain enough time to really actually react and listen to stuff. Another thing too, that it just takes time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is, given how we do this, we're interviewing people. I'll be out speaking in an event or training or something around the country, and I'll meet somebody and I'll go, this would be a really good interview for our listeners. And there's kind of a long lead time between me identifying somebody like that and by the time we can get them scheduled. Because kind of by definition, the people that we interview are really busy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be months before we can get them scheduled.
Right.
Yeah. Which is something I didn't anticipate, really. Yeah.
Right.
Gets back to that flow thing.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you try to prepare and then you realize, nope, it's just not going to work.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Not working that way. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. I have one last question before I want to wrap up. But what has been one of your favorite things that has happened since you started the show?
Favorite things? At least for me, I think probably I have a favorite episode that counts.
Yeah,
that
definitely counts.
Yeah, we interviewed this couple that started this national brand called Quince and Apple. Mm-hmm. It's like specialty jams that pair with charcuterie and cheeses and other things. And I don't know, it was just a fun episode. I mean, like Tara and Matt and Claire, they were just kind of like laughing the whole time, even though we're talking about money. I don't know. It was just it flowed really well, and it's just a really good episode. And so that's, if people ask me which episode should I start with, that's usually what I tell them.
And I think I don't know if I have like one favorite thing, but what is starting to happen, like in the life cycle of anything, I'm starting to meet people who I don't know. Mm-hmm. Say, I'm so glad to actually meet you because I listened to your podcast.
Right.
That's so nice to hear.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And because before, I mean, people know me from the brand, right? So it's much more likely still that people go, oh, you're the Tara's Way lady. Mm-hmm. But now that we've been at this for a while and we're consistent and we're doing all the things that we're doing, there are enough, it's starting to have a life of its own. And right. That is really cool.
That's so nice to like see that slowly happening with your own eyes and how it's evolving.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? Yeah. And I'm super, and people tell me this is so, a lot of entrepreneurs in particular will say, this has been so helpful to me because I listened to several of them and it helped me understand I want to be like this business and not like that business, right. Which is this picking your business model thing that we work with people on. So I know that it's working, you know, and that's really cool to hear that from people.
It's very motivating. That's for sure.
It is. It is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Always learn something, right?
It's true.
Yeah. Always learn something.
Yeah. So, okay, tell me again what the name of the show is and anything that you would want the listeners to check out to learn more.
Sure, yeah. So the name of the show is the Edible Alpha Podcast. You can go to foodfinanceinstitute.org, or if you type in edibalealpha.org or Edible Alpha, yeah, you should be able to find it pretty easily on our website. And yeah, that page that you'll come to has a lot of the podcast displayed in a pretty nice way that it's kind of, you can explore episodes. And yeah, I'd recommend the one with Quince and Apple to start.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'll just say my whole thing about this is that Edible Alpha ought to convince people that, you know, dream big and money, if you got a business model, you can raise money. And it's all about getting that business model, and Edible Alpha really help you get there.
You know, based on that name, you wouldn't necessarily think that, but it totally makes sense. The Edible Alpha totally makes sense for the show.
And and Alpha is, you know, outperform. So people think it's like, you know, Alpha Dog, right? Mm-hmm. With me. And I'm like, no. It's outperform the market in an investment. Mm-hmm. Alpha, that's what Alpha is. So yeah. There you go.
It's tapping yourself. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's great. Okay, Zach and Tara, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm very happy to have two guests with me for the first time. So thanks for being.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Bye.
This is Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry Support Team with this week's Power Press Tip. I'm recording this in January, and in the spirit of the new year, which is often a time of review and reflection, I thought it would be a good time to review your PowerPress settings and see if anything needs to be refreshed. Head over to PowerPress Advanced Mode Settings or to the appropriate settings page if you're using category podcasting, custom channels, or post-type podcasting, and click the website tab. If you're using either the PowerPress Media Player or any of the podcast subscription features within PowerPress, make sure all of the settings on this page are still valid. Have you submitted your show to a new syndication point since you first set up PowerPress? If so, make sure you've got the box next to that syndication point checked. Now go to the Feeds tab. Take a look at the feed title and description fields and see if they're still relevant. Check the copyright field and make sure it's up to date, as many podcasters will include a year like 2017 in their copyright information. Have you moved to a new physical location in the world? Has your show increased or decreased in production schedule? Make sure the location and episode frequency reflect the current state of your podcast. Next, click the iTunes tab. Check to see that your iTunes subtitle and program summary are still relevant. Take a look at your category settings and make sure you're still using the best categories for your show. Also, check that your iTunes author name and iTunes email address are still accurate. If your show is listed with Google Play Music, do a similar sweep of the settings under the Google Play tab. Finally, check the Destinations tab and make sure all of your syndication points are listed with the correct URLs. If you've made any changes during this review, be sure to click the Save Changes button at the bottom of any PowerPress settings page. And that's it for this week's PowerPress tip. If you have any questions about this or anything else in the Blueberry universe, email me, Sean@blueberry.com. Also, be sure that you're signed up for the monthly Blueberry newsletter, where we'll soon be featuring informative articles from the support team. Until next time, thanks for listening.